And I pray, Heavenly Father, you could move in this place, move freely. We pray that you'd open the hearts to people who receive the word. We're thankful, Father, to come before you tonight, Lord, the day before Thanksgiving. We pray your blessing now upon every soul that's gathered in this house. We ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. All right. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, and verse number 25. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. The 11th chapter of Matthew, and verse 20, 21, 22, along in there, you'll notice it says in verse 21, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And then in verse number 25, this is probably what you would call a startling prayer. And it is a startling announcement by the Lord Jesus Christ. Note carefully. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight." Now, I don't know if you realize the profound nature of what he just said and how it applies, but what you just read here is that the Lord Jesus Christ thanked God the Father for the way that he revealed his Son and the way the gospel is revealed to mankind. He thanked him because he said to these people, at Chorazin and Bethsaida, you've had miracles performed in your presence, yet you've rejected me. Sodom and Gomorrah had no miracles, and God burned them. And he said they will rise up in judgment against you. Now, here's a principle in the Bible, and this principle is very consistent from Genesis through Revelation. And the principle is this: the more truth you get, the more accountable you are. The more light you have, then the more that you are accountable to God. But the light also brings blessing, and it brings understanding of the Lord. You want to know more about God, don't you? Well, the more you know about the Lord, the more accountable you are to the Lord. As he reveals himself to you, and you begin to understand his nature, and you understand the things of the Lord, and understand the way God does things, he holds you accountable. But with accountability comes privilege, because the more you understand, the more he'll bless you, the more he may give you privilege, the more he may give you special things. If you'll walk with God, God will walk with you. If you'll draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. And he will bless you. And I'm telling you that 90% of the church is happy with just a Sunday morning Christian and just breeze in, breeze out, and that's it. Most of them are happy with fire insurance, but they don't want a real walk with God. They don't want fellowship, communion with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, now, Father, I thank thee. I thank thee. He knew what God the Father had done. He knew exactly what he'd done. He knew that he had hid it from them because of their intellectual capacity, because of their upstanding in the world, because of their ability. No flesh will ever glory in his presence. So he thanked him. Now, you don't hear much thanking of that today like that. That's not the kind of thanking that you're going to hear. But when's the last time you heard a preacher say, I thank thee, Lord, there's only 15 in this church tonight. These are the 15 you want. These are the ones you wanted to hear the message. These are the ones you wanted to be here. These are the ones you wanted to come out and hear the Word of God. Do you realize there's enough people in this auditorium right now to turn the world upside down? Do you realize that Christianity, quote unquote, could have a new birth? Do you know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you? Do you know that? I know that. I know that. And I know that we are so close sometimes, yet so far away. We are so close, yet all of our baggage, all of our traditions, and all of our learning has driven us so far from God. He'll draw nigh to you. if you'll draw nigh to him. And once he draws nigh to you, it'll change the attitude of your heart. Now, for the day, the first time I heard today, I heard a meteorologist on Channel 13, WATE, talk about Turkey Day tomorrow. He mentioned it two or three times. Turkey Day, yeah, Turkey Day. And I hadn't heard Channel 10. Maybe they have some that have, and some of the other channels. I don't know. But it seems to me like Channel 10's really toned it down because they feel like that maybe they've gotten some criticism. Because last year before, it was Turkey Day, Turkey Day, Turkey Day, Turkey Day. Maybe some Christians reminded them that it wasn't Turkey Day, that it was supposed to be Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
One of the characteristics of the unsaved is that they are unthankful.
Yes, sir.
They're unthankful. That's exactly right. Unthankful. Unthankful. Now, I can't, you can't make somebody be thankful. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And the attitude of thanksgiving really comes from a heart that's right with God. And a heart that's not right with God will never be thankful. Thankfulness is kind of like praise and joy. It's the cream of the crop. It's when you've really reached the point to where you're happy in the Lord, you're satisfied in the Lord Jesus, you're walking with God the way you should be walking with Him, and that you sense His presence and you know He's blessed you, and you're thankful. You're thankful. Now, you may not have as much this year as you had last year. A lot of folks don't. You may not even have a job this year. I've had a number of people come to me and ask me to pray for them about jobs. I've prayed for every one of them. I've prayed for God to give them a job. And they say the unemployment rate in this nation right now is running 17-something percent. It may even be higher than that. It may be 2 out of 10. It may be 20%. Who knows? Now, that 20%, there's about probably 4 to 5% that'll never work. They have no intentions of ever working. So, you've always got a group like that. But there's a number of people out there that are hardworking people that can't find a job right now. I'm getting prayer requests on the internet all the time about jobs. Jobs. That's a big deal right now with people. Jobs. And tomorrow when they sit down at the table, they'll be able to sit down with something to eat. And will they be able to feed their family? Will they be able to pay their bills? Will they be able to... We're not talking about buying anything extra. We're not even talking about Christmas presents. We're talking about paying the light bill. And so forth. And will they be able to do that? It's a good time to take a good, long, hard look at where our country is and where it was last year. Where were you last year and where are you this year? I want to ask you a simple question now. Where were you last year with the Lord and where are you this year with the Lord? Let me tell you where I was, okay? I want to be honest. I like to be forthright. I like to be candid. I can't stand hypocrisy. I can't stand to put on. When my ministry ever becomes that, I'll quit in a heartbeat. I wasn't near as close to God this time last year as I am this year. You know why? I was still battling. I was battling deeply. I was battling the hypocrisy that I had to deal with in the church. I was battling with people who tried to destroy me. I was battling with a God that did not answer the way I thought He should have answered. I was battling with things that weren't there when I thought they should have been there. I was battling with the very core and foundation of my faith, yet preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Preachers blow their brains out because they are in a pressure cooker.
Yes, sir.
You probably never hear preachers talk like I'm talking to you tonight, but I'm talking to you tonight like that so I can help you. When I worked as a mechanic, I could go to work drunk. It wouldn't bother my job a bit. I mean, wouldn't be too drunk, but what have you. Drunk mechanic, big deal. Roll my toolbox. Every time I rolled my toolbox, I got a better job. I made more money. Every time I went to a different dealer, I increased my pay. Just roll my toolbox. No big deal. Drunk painter, drunk mechanic, drunk this, drunk that. No big deal. But drunk preacher? No. Won't work. You see, you're held to a standard that the people don't hold themselves to. You have to live at a certain level that they don't live. In my 33 years pastoring a church, I've met very few people that I thought in my spirit and in my soul lived the kind of Christian life that it would take to get the power of God in their life and walk with the Lord and walk in power. Now, do you feel that same way? But this year, things are a lot better for me. God's brought me. He's continued to bless me a lot better. As a matter of fact, my prayer closet now is beginning to take on the same kind of power it had years back. I mean, it really is. I'm beginning to pray now for over an hour at a time. getting alone with God and get in the dark and feel His presence and feel His power and feel the intercession of the Holy Spirit and feel Him begin to take over and feel the prayers that begins to move, as begins to reach up and take hold of God. God was with me, stuck with me. He stayed with me. He stuck with me through the hard times. He stuck with me. See, I'm not getting that out of a book. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. God will stick with you too. You may be full of doubts. You may be mad at God. You may be angry. You may not feel like God's been fair with you. All these things. Do you think God is as fickle and as temperamental as we are? No. Have you ever really challenged Him? Have you ever really took Him to task? Have you ever really done that? Have you really got into a corner somewhere and said, I want you to prove yourself to me? You make all these demands of my life and say you're going to be here and you're going to do that and you're going to be faithful to by my side. You're going to supply my needs. Well, now I'm going to call you to task. Let's see if you will, because I've given you my life. I told Him that. I said, I gave you my life. Now, if you expect me to get up in that pulpit and preach that book like I preach it because I believe it, then I'm not preaching hypocrisy. I'm not preaching theory to you. I'm preaching what I know. If you want me to get up in the pulpit and preach like that, then, Lord, you're going to have to come and pick me up and show me you're still God and that you're able to do what you said you could do. And I felt something in my spirit when I started talking to Him like that, like, been waiting all along for you to start talking to me. The real you to start talking to me. And I can't get that over to people to save my soul. Oh, I don't want to make God mad. You're making Him mad with your hypocrisy. You're making Him mad with your lying life. You're making Him mad when you come in His presence like, oh, everything's just so hunky-dory and fine. Praise God. Glory to God. You don't mean that, and you know you don't mean that. Amen. Amen. But when you do come into His presence, and it is like that, when's the last time you spent 30 minutes just shouting and praising God and glorifying His holy name and thanking Him because He's been good to you? Just thanking God. Now let me tell you what happens here. You can hear message after message after message after message about being thankful. You can go to Thanksgiving meetings. You can have thankful prayers and all of that. But you know, it really doesn't make any difference until the heart's right. But I've noticed something. I've noticed that if the heart really gets right with God, thanksgiving will flow. Yes. Amen. A thankful heart and a right heart are two in the same. You'll be thankful. You may not have nothing, but you may have more than a bowl of beans and a piece of cornbread. Bow your head over in a $10,000 shack on the other side of the woods out here somewhere. Driving an old beat-up jalopy. But if you can bow your head over that with a thankful heart, you got power with God. I'd rather have power with God than all the money in the world. Because the minute you get power with God, you're gonna tap into a resource that you didn't even know existed. The very moment that you get power with God, you begin to move things, move people, change things, change people, see prayers answered, see stuff begin to happen. The very moment you get power with God, you're going to realize that there's an untapped potential right there. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You say, I prayed that prayer. Yeah, I know you did. It all came right here. Came right out of the head. But when it comes from a heart bowing its head in thanksgiving to God, there is no limit to what the Almighty can do. When you walk out of here tonight, look up in the sky and you'll see all those stars, if it's not overcast. Look up at those stars. The one who made all of that is living in you. And all he's doing is waiting for you to say, Lord God, I've been a fool way too long. It's high time that I begin to draw nigh to you the way you said to do it, and I know you're going to draw nigh to me. And when I bow my head tomorrow, oh, and some of them won't think. They won't be thankful. They just pray. They'll be polite. You know, I know all about families. They'll be polite. I can't wait to eat. As soon as the prayer's over with, it's over. But if you've got a thankful heart for what He's done for you, even if you don't have what you ask for, You're beginning to open up the power of God. And once the power of God is opened up in your life, there is no limit, no limit to what He will do with somebody He can trust. He can't trust most people with money. How many believe that? You can't trust them with money. You can't trust them with money. Can't do it. They just can't handle money. Most people I've known cannot handle money. They can't handle it. It just for one, if most of them, it goes to their head. They think they're better than you. And then all they do is think about is how they're going to spend that money. It consumes their life. But if you find somebody that God can trust with money that is nothing to them but money, and that God is the source and satisfaction of their life, then He's got somebody He'll trust money with. And He can do it. He can do it. And He can do it. And He can do it. So where am I this year from last year? I'll tell you where I am this year from last year. I got a whole lot more peace in my soul than I had last year. And I got a prayer life this year, thank God, that's got some power in it. I get excited about it. I look forward to it. I get up in the mornings and pray while it's dark and while I'm alone. I like to get away from people. You know, I love people and all that, but I got to get away from you. Nothing personal, but I got to get alone. It's those times when I'm alone and just God, and you're alone and just you and God. It seems like it seems like there's so much to be gained from it. It's such a time that it's a precious time. You know what I mean by that? You don't have some talking head on TV telling just talk. It's just meaningless nothing. Boy, have you ever looked at some of this Facebook junk? Well, I got up and we scrambled eggs this morning and I had toast. And then I went to Walmart and we tried some clothes on. And I bought a pink skirt and we went over here. And we're going to go over here this afternoon. And my little baby cried, but we did this. And we're going to go over here next week. And then next three or four days, I think I'm going to think, well, I don't know, maybe I found out. Let me tell you something. Get a life. You don't have a life. If your life is consumed with listening to somebody prattle on with nothing, you don't have a life. You really don't. Let me tell you something else. Outside of a baby and a child, if your life is tied up with somebody else's life, you don't have a life. Now, babies and children need you. But if all you think about is somebody else, then you don't have a life. It's the Lord. Lord will give you a life. Amen. Now, Turkey Day tomorrow for the world, it's Turkey Day. You know, I'm kind of glad they call it Turkey Day, aren't you? They let you know that it doesn't mean a thing to them. Turkey Day. Does that offend you? What, don't they have classes where they call it sensitivity training? If you say something on the job that offends somebody somehow or another, they can send you to a sensitivity training class. Have you ever seen anybody sent to a sensitivity training class because they call Thanksgiving Turkey Day? As a matter of fact, have you ever seen anybody sent to any kind of a sensitivity training class over anything that related to Christ and His church and His cross? You had never have and you never will. You know why? Because the whole secular media and the whole secular social structure is against Christ and His church and His cross and His faith. It's all designed to go against it, and the ACLU is leading the charge. That's right. It's against it. It's antichrist. The whole stinking thing is antichrist. Now, what do you think about a man who would say, Lord, I thank Thee that You've hidden this from the wise and the prudent and revealed it unto babes? Don't you think that's amazing? Do you know what he's saying here? Now think about it for a minute. He's saying, thank You, Lord, for the wisdom in the way that men are saved. That's what he's saying. See? For the wisdom in the way that men are saved. Think about it for a moment. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us who are born again, we'll stand there one day. Will you ever be able to take any credit for your salvation? Let's say, for example, well, I started searching for the truth when I was 10 years old. And I went high and low and traveled from one end of the earth to the other for the truth, and I finally found it in Jesus. I'm sorry, you don't know him. No, you don't know him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not... Let me see how to say this tonight without you misunderstanding me. It's not receiving the truth of Jesus or the message of Jesus or the works of Jesus. It's receiving the person of Jesus. He just happens to be the absolute truth. He happens to be holiness, righteousness. But the idea is that I accept the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he is. And then once I've accepted him, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, he is made unto me. In other words, once I have him, I had no idea what all he could be to me outside of a Savior. But the moment that I received the Lord Jesus Christ, he became in me more. And thank God for the salvation. But he became by his very person more and more to me. What has he become to you? Well, he's become a separator to me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And I know that Christ is not in all men. So that in itself has done something. It's put something between me and the world. If you really have the Lord Jesus in you, you're gonna stand for that. I mean, you're gonna say this is important. You're gonna say this matters. If the Lord Jesus is living in you, and they say things like Turkey Day, and they offend him, and they say his name, and they slur his character, it's gonna cut you to the bone. You're going to take it personally. When somebody says something about the Son of God in an off-color thing, I don't just pass it off and say, well, that's just the way the world is. No, it's as if they said it about me personally because he's in me personally. I take it personally. That's the way a Christian ought to. You ought to take anything that's said or done about God the Father and God the Son as personally as you could. He didn't attack your doctrine. He didn't attack your church. He didn't attack your faith. He attacked the one that is most precious to you, the one that you live for. Did not Paul say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Well, this year I'm more thankful than I was last year. I really am. And I'm thankful. I am very thankful. But what are you thankful for? Well, it's good to be an American. It is. It's good to be an American, you know. And I don't want to just get up here and blast the country and, you know, and just blast the flag and blast all of it. There is a difference, a vast difference between the country and the government. Governments change. But the people of the country are the people of the country. The government doesn't make the country. The people make the country. So I'm thankful to be an American. I am. But I could just as well be an Englishman, or I could be a Frenchman, I could be a German, I could be a Spaniard, I could live in Finland, Iceland. I could live down under in Australia or New Zealand. These are good places to live. So, you know, I'm an American. But I'm going to tell you tonight what I am most thankful for. Above and beyond, far and away, I am very thankful for one who came to a sorry, low-down, stinking, hell-bound sinner and came to me in my hour of need and saved my soul. That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that above everything. I am thankful. I am. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I'm thankful I'm not part of the herd. I am. I'm thankful I'm not part of the herd. Thank God I heard the name. He called my name and he called me out. I am. I have a connection with the Pilgrims of 1621. I definitely have a connection with them. I believe in the same God they believe in. I believe in the same Savior they believe in. I have the same salvation they had. I see eternity exactly as they see it. I have the same roots they had. I came from the same place they came from. They are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I have a connection with those pilgrims that I've never met, but it is a connection. Do you? Do you feel connected to them? Do you feel connected to an Italian Christian? What if you met a German Christian, a German believer? Would you feel a connection to them? Would you feel a camaraderie and a connection? I mean, you belong to each other. You know, that when the Bible talks about brothers and sisters in Christ, it knows no national identity. Nationalities had nothing to do with it. I have a feeling that when you get to glory and you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I really do, I have a feeling that you may be surprised at what God holds in value and what He doesn't. And when you stand there and see the saints of the ages, 2,000 years of the church, 2,000 years, and you see all of the cultures that they've come through, the wars that they've come through, the lives that they've come through, and realize, that's my brothers and my sisters in Christ. That's all that'll matter to you. That's all that'll matter. So, here in John chapter number 11 and verse 41, I'll read this for you tonight and I'll come to a close. John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. If you can walk out of this house tonight and know that God heard you, there's nothing greater than that. Because then you can trust Him with it. You can give it to Him. See what I mean? In the Old Testament, there was a prophet. And it said about that prophet that he let none of his words fall to the ground. Who was that prophet? He said he let none of his words fall to the ground. It wasn't Moses. Samuel. None of his words fell to the ground. None of them. What does that mean? That meant that Samuel could say, I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast heard me. They came before their enemies one day. They were surrounded by armies, outnumbered probably 5-10 to 1. Israel went into a panic. They went into a panic. Samuel was right in the midst. They went into a panic. What are we going to do? We're outnumbered. We're outgunned. We have an enemy army right at our door. What are we going to do? Samuel took a sucking calf. He took that sucking calf and he offered it as a blood sacrifice to Jehovah. That's what he did. That's what he did. He took that blood sacrifice to break the spell of unbelief. And when he broke that spell of unbelief, he drove away the enemy. That's what's killing me and it kills you. It's unbelief. And that's how the devil beat me to death, was with unbelief. Because I got to the point where I just simply did not trust God. I'd heard too many things, too much been said to me in the closet, and it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And I walked out of there, and he knew it, and I knew it, and he knew that I didn't trust him anymore. And that trust had to be built back up in God. Try preaching sometime under those circumstances. You'll find out what a furnace is like. So what did he do, preacher? He did for me what I tell other people all the time, because you're going to go through what I went through, and you may be going through it right now. You can go through it. And if you're honest, you'll say, yes, I've been through that, or I'm going through that. You're not trusting him. You say, well, just trust him. Oh, that's a waste of words. You're just blowing hot air. Just like saying, thank God. You can't just thank God. Just like saying, go ahead and get saved. You can't just get saved. There takes a power of the Holy Spirit of God to produce anything spiritual. So how did I start trusting him again? When I saw his hand begin to move again. And it was undeniable. It was undeniable. I knew it was God. I knew I couldn't deny it. I had to accept the fact. And what he did with me was bit by bit, piece by piece, little by little, he built the trust back up. Now I'm wiser than I was before. I'm wiser. I'm wiser than I was. I trust him. But I say tonight in all honesty, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Where I don't trust you as much as I ought to trust you, help me with it. I may not even know my own heart. I may not even understand my own condition when it comes to this. But I speak in all honesty tonight to you, God being my witness. Like when Sarah said to Abraham about the birth of Ishmael. When Ishmael was born, you know how he was born? You know how Ishmael was born? Exactly, brother. Few people know that. Sarah had Hagar in her lap. And Hagar was bringing this baby into the world, and Sarah was a hold of her. Sarah was therefore performing the position of a wife, and Hagar was a surrogate mother. And Hagar brought Ishmael into the world. All right? Man, it wasn't long after that Sarah and Abraham got into it. And Sarah's eyes lit a flame, boy, and she looked at Abraham right in the eye and she says, God judge between me and you. That's what Sarah said to him. She said, God judge between you and me. We'll just let the Almighty settle this one. That's what Sarah said to Abraham. In plain words, she said, what I did with Hagar and the Egyptian and Ishmael and bringing him into the world, I did it in the honesty of my heart. I did it trying to glorify God and trying to fulfill the prophecy. All right? My motive was honorable, although her method was absolutely wrong. But the motive was honorable. That's the point. See, she had nothing to gain from that. Here's another woman having her husband's child. She said, God judge between you and me over this. That's the kind of life you ought to live, Christian. You ought to live that kind of life. You ought to live the kind of life to where you can say, God judge between you and me. Okay? If you like to run in the back alleys and gossip about people and run them down and run your mouth about people and don't know what you're talking about, God judge between you and me. He will. He will. He will. He'll judge. The judge of the whole earth will do right. And he did right. When they turned against me, he turned for me. And I knew his hand was there. Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. I can shout. I shout. My shout's back. My joy is back. Glory to God. Amen. And yours can come back too. If your joy is gone, don't let it. Don't live like that. Ask him to give you joy back. And you'll find out. If your joy is gone, you'll find out that your joy left you at some point where you and God had a contention. You and God crossed paths. Something happened between you and the Lord, and it didn't work the way you thought it was going to work, or something. Something happened. You may not be able to put your finger on it right now, but he'll take you back to it. And you got to go back to that spot. And you got to go back to that spot, and you got to get it settled. Just like I told you a minute ago when I said to the Lord, I don't trust anymore. This is enough. Enough of this. No more voices. No more talking on air. Done with it. But the voices wouldn't stop. And now they come. Boy, do they come. Boy, does he talk to me. Y'all may run me off one day. Think you got a crazy preacher up here. I can't help it. They come. When I get in that closet and shut that door, the voices come. They come. And here's the thing about it. It happens just like he says it's going to. So bless his name tonight. Bless the name. Amen. I'd rather serve God than to pastor a church. I'd rather stand true to the truth of God, the Word of God. I'd rather do it any time and walk out this building and never walk back in here again. At least I know that I'm where God wants me, doing what God wants me to do. and I've got peace with the Lord in my heart. And that's where I'm going to live. Live too long. I'm not going to live a lie. I believe it. If you'll get in your prayer closet, get in there and say, God, give me my joy back. I want my joy back. So how many of you have really know what joy is? When I'm talking about the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Once you've ever tasted the joy of the Lord, you're miserable if you don't have the joy of the Lord. Oh, I know, you got your lights flashing at Christmas time and you're out shopping and blah, 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 and all the jingles and all of this and blah, blah, blah. January, you'll be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. But the joy of the Lord will take you right through that, and the joy of the Lord will be stronger in January than it is now, and the joy of the Lord all of a sudden just comes upon you. You start shouting and praising God because of the joy of the Lord. See, I've never had the joy of the Lord. Then somebody needs to pray over you. Pray for God to give you His joy. Amen. You need the joy of the Lord. Amen. You need the joy of the Lord. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, in Thy name we pray. I sent you in here tonight, Lord. I believe I said with all of my heart, and you know my heart, I spoke in honesty. Heavenly Father, I know you could smite me into eternity right now in a hair's breadth. I know that, Holy One. But you know I spoke the truth. Blessed God. And you know I spoke my heart. Blessed Holy One. And Father, tonight what I said to help people. God, this is not an easy, path, Lord. There's many struggles here. Heavenly Father, we've got an adversary who's an enemy. Oh, what an enemy he is. And he knows exactly what to steal from us. He knows what to take from us if he can do it. He knows he can't get our salvation. He knows that. But he knows that he can wreck our faith, and he can steal our joy, and he can slap us with all kinds of fiery darts. And we need to get wise to his ways. And we need to take thee for who you are and your character, Lord, because your character is true and it's pure and it's holy, and you'll never lie. Father, tonight I believe with all of my heart your desire for every soul in this house is for them to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Holy One, I've enjoyed some of this now. Blessed God. I'm enjoying joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, you know it's not all the time. It's not 24/7. Nobody lives in that. But God, it comes. And thank you, blessed Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for them tonight. I pray, sweet Holy One, move about this place. Help us tonight. Come down and palm this place. God. Lord, all we need is a touch, just a touch, just your breath upon our soul is good enough. My Heavenly Father, somebody tonight, Lord, someone tonight, somebody must be hungry. There must be someone in here tonight, Holy One, whose hunger, they hunger for this. And they know it's a reality, but they've never experienced it. But they know it's a reality. And they want that joy. They want that joy. They want that joy. Your promise is not a vain promise. It's not empty words. If they'll draw nigh, you'll draw nigh. May it be so. Let it be so. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Let it be done right now. In the name of the Son of God. Let it be done. Hallelujah.